You're listening to Kingdom Lives.
We're not theologians by any means. We're just a couple guys that love the Word of God and we're living out our calling.
A salvation testimony and men's topic show right here from the Central Valley.
And the structure of our marriage was going to fall apart if we didn't do something about it. And my wife suggested we try going to church.
Now let's join our host, Jonathan Olson and Cody Houck.
My name is Jonathan Olson.
And this is Cody, and thank you for joining us for this episode of Kingdom Lives. And today we have a message that may be a little difficult, but this is a message directly to our brothers and sisters in the church. So I'm going to throw this to Jonathan, and he can intro us to what we're talking about today.
Yeah, so I wanted to talk about an issue that we all become a part of at some point or another in our lives, especially in our Christian walks. I'm going to start first. This whole episode is going to be going over a scoffer or a mocker, depending on which version of the Bible you're reading. These terms are interchanged based on different translations. So I'm going to start with the definition of what it is. It's easy to say that someone's a mocker or a scoffer, but what is a modern scoffer? What does a modern mocker look like in Christianity, but also within the world, and when those two worlds combine and collide with each other? So a scoffer is someone who jeers or mocks or treats something with contempt or calls out in derision. It is synonymous with flouters, jeerers, mockers, and it is a type of disagreeable person, an unpleasant person, a person who is not pleasant or agreeable. They really drive the point home in that definition. And I wanted to start this out. Proverbs is the book that's going to outline and teach about the problems with a scoffer more than anything else. So I'm going to go through a series of a few different scripture that goes over this, and then me and you, Cody, we'll just have a discussion about what this looks like today. It's used very much in the gospel. Jesus was talking to a lot of the legalists and the Pharisees and the scribes as being scoffers, and there are other situations and other books of the Bibles where scoffers are very much an issue. And I feel like if we don't call out the fact that we are scoffers ourselves a lot of times, then it leads us into a path where maybe we are not able to see that that's where we're walking and not able to correct that path.
Well, there's some risk of us even coming off in that way talking about this topic, right?
Absolutely.
So we're trusting the Spirit to guide this discussion, but it's also a deep conviction that He's put on both of our hearts, especially in light of the recent social events that are going on and the way that some of our brothers and sisters within the church have conducted themselves and even us at times. So we just felt it was a very important conversation to bring up and to give the scriptural evidence of the dangers of us behaving in that way.
Yep. And before I start on this, I just kind of want to point out a conviction of my own that I've had on this as I was studying through Proverbs. And it's something that if you go to study through Proverbs, I felt that it's really easy to study Proverbs from an outside perspective, viewing the world and seeing all the wisdom there and casting it out. It's very difficult to read Proverbs and to find yourself in each one of those admonishments. But as a Christian that's walking with Christ, I think we are called to find ourselves in those things that are negative, that are a problem, because we all do become that person. We all do things that are wicked. We all do things that are abominations to the Lord. We all do these things at some point in our life. And if we don't call it out for ourselves and we rely on other people to do it, then we walk into that territory of scoffing and being a very contentious situation where nobody can hear anybody else. So with that, I'm going to go over a little bit of Proverbs here, and then we will continue our discussion. So in Proverbs 9, chapter 9, verse 8, do not rebuke mockers or scoffers, or they will hate you. Rebuke the wise and they will love you. Now in these, depending on the version of the Bible that you're reading, it's going to say scoffers or mockers. So when I say one, they're interchangeable. At least in this application, they are. Proverbs 13, verse 1, a wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. Proverbs 14, verse 6, the mocker seeks wisdom and finds none, but knowledge comes easily to the discerning. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 12, mockers resent correction, so they avoid the wise. Proverbs 21, verse 24. The proud and arrogant person, quote-unquote mocker is his name, behaves with insolent fury. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 10. Drive out the mocker, and out goes strife. Quarrels and insults are ended. Now, there's a lot more in Proverbs that talk about it. These are just some of the ones that were highlighted to me and ones that I wrote down as I was doing my little videos on Proverbs. But what that looks like today is very different than what it looks like in the biblical times. The actions are the same, but the platforms that we're able to do that on today allow us to blanket and cover these up with all sorts of different things that we maybe don't consider to be scoffing.
And I think something that you've talked about in the past, too, that you really brought to light to me is as you were going through your studies of Proverbs, you realized that these scriptures were not pointing to the unbelieving world. They were pointing to the church.
Yeah.
When talking about scoffers being present within the church. So, again, our purpose in having these conversations is to bring the Bible to life and bring to light what this looks like today.
Right. And I think one of the more things that are synonymous with scoffing that we maybe also lose sight of and find ourselves walking in is a level of arrogance and self-righteousness that we put it upon ourselves that our own understanding and our own knowledge is so good. We turn off the radar for scoffing because we find ourselves to be in a situation that we think to be righteous, but then at the stance we take towards other people, we go from righteousness to self-righteousness, and that walks us squarely into scoffing at other people because they don't have the experience we have, or they don't have the knowledge of the Bible that we have, or they don't have the experience with Jesus Christ that we have. And, you know, given our situation, there's been a lot of contention with this virus situation and a lot of people that are standing on different sides of the fence on how they are perceiving the whole situation, but also how they're discerning their own actions and the actions of others.
And we see people do it not only directly when they're using very harsh words and insults towards people, but they can also do it indirectly and almost in a way of trying to hide behind humor and sarcasm and joking in a way that is still demeaning towards people who may have a different opinion.
Yep.
Than they do on a stance or stance in these issues.
And I think that's the biggest part of it, is how much of this are we covering under the disguise of humor? How much of it do we think that we're making a funny, witty point to somebody that is maybe an unbeliever, they don't know Jesus Christ, or maybe they've met some humans who told them that they were living like Jesus Christ, and so now they think that Jesus Christ is the person they met.
And here's... Go ahead.
And I was just going to say that, you know, whenever we do that and we make that witty joke that we think is funny because we have the understanding of Scripture or anything like that, what they see is somebody making fun of them.
And here's the big thing I want to point out in this is social media has widely taken over as our main form of broadcast communication, right? We all, or most of us, have hundreds, if not thousands, of friends on Facebook or Instagram or whatever that see the content that we put out,
yeah.
Right? Do you think every person that's on your friends list shares your beliefs?
Right.
But what does God call us to do? God calls us to make disciples of all nations and to conduct ourselves in a way that is honorable to Him and to use the platforms that we have to glorify His name and lead people to Christ, right? So the minute that you go put up a meme or a post that you might think is funny, but one of those several hundred or thousand people on your friends list, that's a very sensitive issue for them. Well, guess what? You've now lost your ability to evangelize to that person forever.
Yep.
They've silenced anything that you're going to say because they find, 'cause you've now mocked them for their stance or their belief. Or
yeah, any conviction that they have. And I can tell you from my own experience, having walked so much of my life without Jesus Christ next to me, that's absolutely what happens. You see that, and people come so self-righteously to prove a point by using what they think is witty humor that the only thing that resulted from that is I no longer follow their posts. I have muted them. at that point. And
absolutely,
and how much of what you're putting on Facebook goes in line with what you're doing on Sunday morning while you're at church.
And I think that's one of the a huge thing that we see with people is Monday through Saturday, it's funny memes and poking fun at people and demeaning them for their beliefs. And then Sunday morning when they walk out of their church service, it's, I love everybody and I'm praying for you.
Yep. Yeah. What is the language of your comments versus the language you speak to your brothers and sisters and at their face? Because I can say this confidently that the words you speak on social media in comments and memes and posts and all these types of things are coming out of your heart. And if there's anything that's made clear in the New Testament and the Gospels of Jesus, it's that your heart is what is being counted. And so if you are doing that out of your heart and it's what you come to Sunday morning where you pray with your brothers and sisters and you walk out and you pray for everybody and the whole situation and the president and all this stuff, but then what's actually coming out of your heart is spilling over into social media, not only is that who you are at that point, it is what the world sees, the world that's not in the church, and it's the people we're called to come alongside and teach that we're creating a very effective barrier that doesn't allow them to cross and it doesn't allow us to cross.
And even if in that moment you hit that place and you feel that your prayer is genuine and you're genuinely praying for these people, because you've offended them, do you think their ears are going to be open to hear your genuine prayer and concern at that point?
Yeah. Well, and I think if you look through the life of Jesus Christ and the Gospels and the things that he didn't come alongside people and scoff at them for not knowing Jesus Christ. He came alongside the people that didn't know Jesus Christ and showed himself to them and showed the love and compassion of God to the people that were lost. The people that he did that to, who were they?
Yeah.
You know, who in the life of Jesus Christ, who was Jesus Christ coming after and saying that you're wicked? What you're doing is not in line with the will of God. It's misusing the testament of God and these other situations that were always put towards the Pharisees and the scribes and the people that were lost. Jesus didn't come alongside them, and he did admonish them and he rebuked them as effectively as we should as Christians, but then he walked beside them and showed them a way. And that's if we're going to live the life as a Christian, I thoroughly believe in my heart that we're called to walk beside these people in the same regard, that if they're clearly lost in their beliefs about the world and Jesus Christ and all this stuff, we don't throw criticisms at them. We admonish the danger of what they're doing and then come alongside them. And if they refuse to see it and they refuse to hear it, then there's other things in the Word that call us to have the discernment to notice that and to step away. But
it's important to understand, though, that nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care. Is anybody going to receive that admonishment if you've never spent a day with them letting you know that you give a squat about them?
Right.
And you see that everywhere. Is everybody wants to jump on social media and issue correction to somebody.
And you don't know them.
Have you ever asked that person to go for a cup of coffee with you so you could understand what they've gone through in their life that may have led them to believe the way that they believe?
That's exactly
Or do you just jump on a post or a comment that they make and call them uneducated or more harsh words that I'm not going to use on the radio?
Yeah.
That completely demean that person without even knowing the experience that they have.
Right. You know, and one of my beliefs, and I don't really have any scripture or anything. This is just something that I've gotten from the Word and studying it that I believe is a spirit that comes from the Word, is that's why we're called to have compassion for all people, to allow ourselves to have our heart broken for the things that break the Lord's heart. And it's because you're never going to be able to know all of those people. And that's so prevalent today with social media that you do have 400 or 500 friends. Do you know all their stories? and for you, for anyone to come out and make a blanket statement to thousands of people about their belief or their knowledge or their understanding or anything like that is the core of ignorance. And it's so detrimental to be able to have those people have open hearts and open minds and open eyes to the next thing you say when you follow up the rebuke or the scoff with trying to tell them that Jesus loves them or that you're going to pray for them. And these things that we say, but we cover it all and we say that, well, we're just trying to teach them the Gospels. We're trying to tell them all this other stuff. But all the words before that were very much based out of a different spirit. And I think it's very critical that we should acknowledge that that's a risk that we have, that's something I find myself doing it. I don't know how many times I've written a very scoff riddled reply to somebody and then deleted it, but I don't always delete them either.
Yeah, same here. We fall into this. We're still people. We might be here speaking about this to you today, but everything that we talk about is something that we've walked through or are walking through, and God's called us to share this and share our testimony about this with you guys. And another thing that can get lost is, okay, somebody says, well, I don't judge the world outside the church. But God does call us to police what's going on inside the church, right? But they want to treat a new believer who might have only been walking with the Lord for 3 to 6 months like somebody who's been walking with the Lord for 20 years and think that that sanctification is going to happen immediately, when sanctification is a process.
Right.
And if you go after a young believer who maybe God has called them to change their stance on whatever it may be, using alcohol, using drugs, viewing pornography, whatever it may be, that sanctification is a process. And maybe right now God has put on their plate that all they can handle is their battle with drug addiction.
Yeah.
But they're still struggling with, say, pornography. And you go and you tell them that they're not walking with the Lord because they're still struggling with that?
Right. Or anger.
It can be anger.
Yeah.
It can be self-control. It can be their worth.
Right.
Whatever it may be, our sanctification is a process, and you can't judge somebody else's walk by your walk.
Yep. And I think that touches back again, and you know, I think this is going to happen several times throughout this show as we do it. The power of a testimony that this is going to touch on. If you knew someone's testimony, your words to them would change. Because once you know their testimony, you know where they came from. You see the significance of the work that God has done on them. And you take something that maybe in your eyes is not very much progress, but then once you learn their story and their past, you see that the small amount of progress you think they've made is actually mountains that they've crossed. And that you're surprised they survived it. And, you know, it's the problem that comes with not knowing the people around you, not taking the time, like you said, to take them out for a cup of coffee and have a discussion with them.
Yeah. Do you think you don't know me from Adam? I walk up to you and I say, hey, what's your story?
Yeah.
Do you think somebody's going to sit and open up to you completely as a new believer and tell you every struggle that they've gone through and why they have the viewpoints of the world that they do?
Right.
That's going to take time to build that relationship.
Yep, absolutely. And I think, you know, and to side on the air of caution with this, we're called to not judge people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because that's what we're doing when we make those type of scoffs towards people and we mock them in that sort of way, is we're judging their experience and saying that they should have a certain level of belief and conviction and knowledge based on what we don't know about them. And that's, I mean, we're called not to make those judgments. We're called not to try to discern that level in people's lives without getting to know them. But the other side of that is that we're called to love them as we love ourselves. Because if you look at your own life, you know yourself better than you know anybody else. You know your testimony. You know the progress you've made. You know everything that you've overcome, which is why you give yourself more exceptions and more benefits of the doubt than you do anybody else in your world.
Why does somebody else not deserve the same grace that you give to yourself?
Absolutely. And you're supposed to do that. You're supposed to walk alongside them and give them the benefit of the doubt that the reason that maybe their understanding is not where you think it should be is because there's probably a story behind it and a testimony that would fully change your perspective of them if you were to know it. And the fact that that's even a remote possibility should allow us to give them the benefit of the doubt of us loving them compassionately the way that Jesus Christ loved everybody.
Or the other side of that is maybe they did reach a place that the Holy Spirit was speaking to them and led them into a church full of believers, and they walked in there and they were shunned.
Yeah.
And another thing I've been seeing go around as of late is, everybody wants to present this loving, kind-hearted, fluffy Jesus and completely disregard his anger and his admonishment towards people. Yeah. Who did he reserve that for?
Yeah.
The judgmental, the hypocrites, the people that were set up in the churches using it as a marketplace to fill their pockets.
Right.
Not the people that were in sin and struggling.
Right.
It was the people who were willingly acting out against what he was teaching.
And then calling that teaching.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. It was not just calling it out that you guys are doing things that are adamantly against the Word of God, but you're calling those actions to be ordained by the Word of God, even though you've added to it, right? You've added yourself to it. And by adding yourself, you remove the other people. And that's one of those things that I see very much whenever I interact with a lot of people is, and we all do this. Like you said before, this is not us saying that you guys are all bad. You guys need to fix this. This is something I've been struggling with, especially being what I would consider to be not a mature believer, because my faith is under 5 years old.
Same here.
But before my faith was established, very much of what I saw were people coming in and saying these exact things to me. I went to church several times. I went to other situations, and it was very much exactly that I stepped in there and I was not a fully completed Christian walking with Christ, and therefore everybody seemed to have a word for it. It wasn't coming alongside me. It was just scoffing and whispering and these things about me that I would find out because I've always been in small towns and that kind of stuff. So I think that's what we run the risk of if we don't catch ourselves. Because once we catch ourselves, anytime we identify a problem with ourselves, then God can work on it with us, because that allows us to relinquish that to God. And if we don't acknowledge that we have the issue, we are holding on so tightly to it that we'll never see it. And
I want to highlight again, Jonathan just mentioned it, but I want to highlight again, this isn't something that we're sitting back and saying that we're righteous in this area, because I can't tell you the amount of social media posts that I've typed out or comments that I've typed out in the last several weeks that have come across in that exact same way that there's times I've posted it. Mm-hmm. And then 10 minutes later, I go back and God convicts me and I delete it.
Yeah.
But a lot of times I type them out and I delete them. Or it speaks of scoffers and whispers. What are the whispers? The gossipers.
Right.
Right. That God's wanted me to go, or not God's wanted, my flesh has wanted to go tell somebody or talk about some issue that I have with somebody else and do it in the name of venting.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
But that's gossip.
Yeah. If you're venting,
there's no gray area there. Seeking, it's gossip.
Yeah. If you're not seeking advice or wisdom from another brother or sister that may be stronger in their faith, then you're probably gossiping and calling it venting or some other thing. So I kind of want to just wrap it up with this, that as Christians, I think we need to be very careful. I think we need to keep our eyes open and pray for God to highlight these issues within our own hearts so that we can address them. Because if we don't think that we're a scoffer, we're probably going to fall into that territory. And so, I mean, I think overall, maybe this is just an admonishment to all of us to just be very careful, because this situation is a very volatile situation, and it's only the love of and compassion of Jesus Christ that's going to come through us that's going to help any of these types of situations in our public life.
And something that's really helped me over the last several months is looking at anything that I'm going to publish. And yes, it's okay to make a funny picture about Big Bird that relates to nobody on planet Earth. It's just going to give somebody a little giggle. But if you're posting something with it being attached to someone else in a personal experience, sit back for a second and ask yourself, if I post this, is this going to lead somebody closer to Christ?
Right.
And that's it.
That's it.
Anything that we post that is convicting or in any manner that somebody could read, ask yourself, does this lead someone closer to Christ?
Yeah. I think that's a great point to leave it on.
Yeah, so thank you guys for joining us again today. If you have any questions, comments, we invite you to follow us on social media, Facebook at Kingdom Lives, Instagram at Kingdom.Lives, Twitter at Kingdom_Lives, or visit our website at www.KingdomLives.com. Again, thank you guys for joining us this week.
God bless you guys.
Thank you again for joining us on this episode of Kingdom Lives. Don't forget that you can catch us every Sunday night at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time at Grace 91.1 FM here in Central Arizona, or you can live stream at grace911.com. We're a listener-supported ministry, and you can give to support our ministry at www.kingdomlives.com. Thank you again for listening, and God bless.